Now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate you, to receive from you. Lord, I thank you for the great plans you have for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you that victory belongs to us in every area, but even when we get knocked down, we can get back up. So speak into our lives. We thank you, Father. Speak into our lives today. Encourage your people by your truth and your Holy Spirit so that as they walk out of this place, they know that they don't have to stay down, but they can get back up. And we give you praise. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Now, you got to understand that it's the plan of your Father for you to succeed. It's the plan of your Father, your Heavenly Father, for you to win. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. Everything I say, please challenge it with the Word of God, because it's the Word that makes the difference. Matthew 13. It's the Word that makes the difference. And we find out that God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you, Psalms 1, that whatever you put your hands to be successful and prosperous. God wants you in the game, and he wants you scoring. He wants you winning. It's not, the Bible says, to run the race as to win it. That means God wants you playing, and he wants you to win. But it doesn't mean that you won't have challenges, John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Now, good thing about football, when you're playing, at least there's a courtesy where the enemy or the opposing team, I should say, wears a different color jersey. So you can identify who's on your team and who's not on your team. In life, we don't get that courtesy, do we? Because you don't always see when someone's getting ready to try to take you down. We think we know who's on our side. Who's not on our side. And if you could push a button and God said, okay, everybody that's for you on one side, everybody's against you on the other side, you might be surprised of who you thought was for you be on the other team against you and vice versa. But the good news, the Bible says, if God be for you, am I talking to somebody today? If God is for you, I mean, if you look around and the people that you thought were for you turn out to be against you, don't hold them in mind, because if God be for you, who can be against you? Everybody, if everybody turns on you, you have the greater to rise up and shine. Isaiah 60, chapter 60, verse 1 says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Light has come. Arise, say, get up. See, when you get knocked down, if you want to keep playing, you got to get back up. If you want to shine, you got to stand back up. Arise, then you can shine. You can't shine until you arise. And you can't get up until you get your word. What is the interest of his word? Gives light. David said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So when you begin to rise up and say, okay, God, I'm going to get up and get back in the game, not because I feel good, Not because I feel like I have a lot of energy, because when you get knocked down, you don't always feel your best. When you get the wind knocked out of you, it takes a few seconds to get it back. But no good player sits on the sideline. I mean, I've seen football players, they get knocked around. I mean, get knocked down hard. I mean, hard. I mean, they'll have fingers that'll be dangling and arms are crooked, and they're out for the rest of the game, and they'll come back 15 minutes later. Oh, it's no big problem. They just broke their arm and they're back in the game. It's all wrapped up and they're wanting to play. And you're like, how in the world are they even in the game? Oh, that's a bad injury. That injury is going to keep him out at least 2 weeks. And you're like, 2 weeks? It'd take a normal person 6 months to recover. They're back in the game in 2 weeks. And yet a lot of Christians, the sign of the first little challenge, first little bump, first little disappointment, all of a sudden we're like, oh, I just can't do it anymore. I've just had such a setback. Wait a minute. Yeah. If they can get back to war, get back on the field to play in a game that has no eternal difference in it, how should Christians be in the game of life? You might take your hits and bruises and bumps and say, oh, I'm not feeling encouraged today. I don't feel like anybody appreciates me. I don't feel anybody's noticing me. I don't feel like anybody's opening the door of opportunity and being my cheerleader. Well, even if they don't let that be the dictating factor if you're in the game. Sometimes as Christians, we get so so I'll just say it. We become real, like sissies all of a sudden. We're supposed to walk in love, but that doesn't mean you're so thin-skinned that the first opposition or disagreement or ridicule. If it takes one person to talk about you to keep you out of the game, something's wrong. We gotta go back and read the Bible again. Joshua 1, God told Joshua, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to use you to bring the inheritance to the people, but I only need you to be strong and courageous. Notice that. Strong and courageous. Say strong and courageous.
Strong and courageous.
Because if you're not strong and courageous, you won't get back up. If you're not strong and courageous, you won't get back in the game. And if you're not strong and courageous, God can't do what he wants to do because he needs a partner to believe in him so much that when he says it, you begin to act by faith, not by feeling. By faith, not by feeling. Do you know what's a struggle for us when we get knocked down? And it could be someone hurts you, you failed, or whatever. When you look for a feeling to motivate you to get back, most of the time you'll never come back. Because it's great. It feels good to begin to charge when you have the adrenaline kicking and your blood is flowing and you are excited and motivated. It's a whole nother level when you feel the complete opposite. But you get back up, you dust yourself off, and you say, let's go. Let's get back in the game. I might not feel it. Folks, when you are in battles or when you've been knocked down or you've been discouraged or you're facing a setback, you don't feel encouraged. You don't feel strong. But at the end of the day, you got to get to where you say, who cares what I feel like? Because even the Bible says, when you are weak, let them say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You don't charge because you feel good. You don't serve God because you feel it. You don't do what God asks you to do because you feel it. Feelings come and go. And when you are fighting a battle, there'll be times you won't feel God. There's times you don't even feel saved. But if Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, then you get a hold of that word. That's what we talked about. There's levels of the word, and that strong meat needs a strong bite. When you get a hold of it, hell or high water, feeling good, not feeling it, it don't matter if it looks like it's going to happen or it looks like it's never going to happen. Those things change. And you got to get a hold of it by faith and say, I know I don't feel good. I know I feel like I just failed. I know I feel like it's never going to get better. But that doesn't matter. If the word says what God told me to do and his word is true, and Isaiah 55:11 says it will not return void but accomplish what God said. If God told you to charge the mountain, charge it. If he told you to reach out, reach out. If he told you to stand up, stand up. Having done all, stand. Don't quit. Don't give up. It doesn't matter what you feel. Like, get back in the game. Get back in the game. Some of us are like boats and we're getting knocked around all the time by the waves and the wind. It's because we have dropped anchor and all we are is being moved around by the wind. Pull up the anchor, get moving forward, get back in the game, and you will see that even the season against you must change and come in alignment. It's not forever, but the word of God is forever. It don't look good. Don't matter what it looks like now. Get looking at the word.
Yeah.
So how do we get, what do we need to do? What do we need to implement in our lives so that we can stand up, get back up, and get back in the game?
Yeah.
If you have your Bibles, let's look at a key scripture here. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
Hebrews 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, and I appreciate this, that the author of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, there's some people, he doesn't identify himself in the first books like he did his other books, but anyway, he didn't say, let you, he said, let us. This is not for, hey, just for the baby Christians, you got to learn this. This is for all Christians, no matter where you're at. There'll be times you got to learn to let go of some stuff. If you sit there on the field and you're crying about, I can't believe he knocked me down. He used to be my college buddy. I don't know what he hit me so hard for. Why would he say those things to me when he told me to get up, stay down, and I'm going to keep knocking you down? Why would he be so mean? Look, you're focusing on the enemy too much. You can't keep everybody happy. And there's going to be opposition. And when an enemy rises up, don't get upset that there's an enemy. Everybody's got an enemy. Did you hear me? Everybody's got opposition. Don't ever think that if you get to a level of life, opposition stops. No, when you get to a level of life, opposition just increases. Oh, those people are so famous. No, there's more people that know them and like them, but there's also more people that know them and dislike them. You can't worry about everybody liking you. If you spend your life trying to get everybody to like you, you'll never reach your destiny. I'm not saying we're rude to people. I'm just saying the opinions of people shouldn't matter to the point of the opinion of God. And if you're doing what God tells you to do and you're serving God, if people talk about you, you don't have to. Let me help you out. The devil only uses the tools that work. If it rattles your cage, he'll keep doing it. I've seen people that if someone talks about them, they got to run it down and put out the fire. And you know what happens? There'll be another fire when you get that one done. Your friends don't need an excuse, and your enemies won't believe the one you give them. So why chase it? Why chase the fire? Why you love people, and you just be real, you be genuine, and you just keep doing what God told you to do. And God and time will show it, and if they never get it, God love them anyway. People lie about, people lie about me. I can't chase it. I love people. I love God. I keep Jesus number one. And it, no one's perfect. You know what I mean? And if you mess up, repent. Try to fix it. But at the end of the day, you're always going to have somebody who not like you or like something you said or like something. You know, it's just a reality in life. You know what I mean? It's amazing to me. I'll just take a 2 minute soapbox second if it's okay. It's amazing how we get people that are so disturbed about an opposing opinion. I mean, you watch what's happening at universities. Universities, agreed or disagree, should be a lot of different thoughts so you can figure out different opinions. But some people, they get so upset if someone's going to say something that they totally disagree with that they want to. Listen, if you want to voice your opinion that's completely opposite of somebody else's, that's your right. In our country, that's your right. But it's amazing that universities now, higher education, want a safe space where they don't want to have any opinion that's different than them. Folks, that's not the American way. The American is freedom of speech, that you have a right to voice your opinion and have it. Okay? No, I'm saying it has gone way past reality. Literally, there were some universities would have a counseling room, and they called it this counseling that was taking people back to where they were like child. And look, there would be crayons in there, Play-Doh. So why? So they could comfort themselves. So wait a minute. These are future leaders? And if somebody has a speech or says something you disagree with, you got to go play with some Play-Doh? And a coloring book to comfort yourself? Yes. Let's get real. Those people aren't ready for the pressures of life. I'm just being honest with you. Do I agree with what's being said? Absolutely not. But it's not a matter if you agree or disagree with people. If you allow someone wrote something bad about you on Facebook and now you're so upset you have to stay in and cry for 3 days, can't go to work? Let's get real. The world has become so politically correct and thin-skinned that anybody disagrees with them. Yes. And let's get real. You don't agree with everybody. You don't agree with everybody in your house. You don't agree. You don't totally agree with your own spouse that you love and are committed to spend the rest of your life with, right? Can you imagine getting married? I'll marry and love you until I disagree with you. Well, let's just save ourselves time because you only make it to the end of the day. Right? Yeah, the marriage will be over before the stamp is dry and the mail is received and it goes. As believers, you will never do what God wants you to do if everybody agrees with you. God wants you to be so thick-skinned that you are on course with him, that if people disagree with you, now don't shout me down. Some of you are looking like you're mad at me. It's okay. I still love you. I can love you even if you don't like me or don't agree with me or talk bad about. I still love you. You know, and we have to be real. We have to be so thick-skinned. The key is being thick-skinned when it comes to the opinions of people and thin-skinned when it comes to the presence of the Lord. So sensitive to the Holy Spirit that when he's guiding, that all he has to do is just kind of breathe and whisper something to you and you catch what he's saying. Then Elijah found out that God wasn't always in the big, loud, noisy stuff. He could be in the still, small voice. You got to learn to be thin-skinned when it comes to the presence and the word of God, but thick-skinned when it comes to the opinions of people. Because you can't love people. If you only love the people that agree with you, Jesus said, what difference are you than the world? That's what the world does. He wants you to love people that disagree with you. You know what I mean? And I don't know what's your political position. At the end of the day, it's yours. It's, you don't have to tell anybody. And I'm not here to change it or correct it or debate it. I'm here to tell you, beyond any political position, be a Christian above that. Be a Christian above that. Independent, Green Party, Republican Party, Democrat Party, no party, every party. It don't matter. At the end of the day, you should, your Christianity should rise above everything. I'm just saying. You might not like it, but I'm just saying. If we can't love people, I mean, I hate these people because they hate people. Just saying. Sounds kind of funny. We love people. But they're not lovable. I know. God asked us to love people that's not lovable. And if you only get up, if you stand up only when people love you or agree with you or applaud you, you'll never get up. We got to learn to lay aside some stuff so that we can reach for some better stuff. You have a right to be offended, but you also have a greater right to go ahead and move on. You have a right to complain. But you got a greater right to move forward. You got a right to tell your coach, I'm hurt and I need to stay out. But you got a greater right to score against them and prove to them that even when they knocked you down before, it's not going to stop you from scoring against them again. I mean, think about it. In football, a guy gets knocked down. You know what he says? He looks at the guy who's laughing at him and says, I knocked you down. And say, that's okay. Wait till I score against you next time. See, you thought I was trying before. Now I'm really trying. And all you did is woke up someone you wish you had never woke up. See, when the devil tries to hit you, you ought to say, oh, good shot. But you woke me up and you should have left me where I was before. I was just kind of cruising, but now I'm running. I was just thinking about it, but now I'm planning on doing it. I was just simply trying. Now I'm going to make sure I get through and make it happen. You should have never messed with me before. Now I'm going to get to my stuff. Now I'm going to get you. Now I'm going to go for it. I'm not settling for just winning. Now I'm going to win and beat you. Come on, somebody. We ought to live life when the devil messes with you. Say, oh, that was a good shot, but he should have never messed with me. When I get done with him, he'll be in a fetal position and say, please quit scoring on me. One more touchdown. Please quit your embarrassment. One more touchdown. But it's not a touchdown we're going for. It's one more victory. It's one more soul to be saved. One more life to be changed. One more miracle to happen. One more prayer to be answered. One more blessing to be given. I'm telling you, you got to say, all right, devil, you mess with me. Game is on. Look to your neighbor and say, game on.
Game on.
Hallelujah. High five three people. Say, game on.
Game on.
Game on. Game on. Hallelujah. Game on. Hallelujah. I'm not quitting. I'm not slowing down. I'm not discouraged. That just only woke me up. Game on. Game on, hallelujah. And you might be struggling today and you walked in discouraged and defeated, but wake up, game on. We're gonna let go of some stuff and we're gonna get in the game, game on. Woo, I like that. I didn't say that in the first two services, but I gotta stay here one more. I gotta say it one more time. When you're knocked down, get back up, game on, baby. Game on, baby. You should tell the devil, you should have settled when I was just comfortable going to church. But game on, I'm bringing church home. I'm bringing church to the streets. I'm bringing church to the neighborhood. I'm bringing Jesus. Game on. You think you turned the heat up? I got something greater than that heat. Game on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king looked in, he not only saw three, he saw four men, and their hands were free from what he had tried to imprison them to. Game on. Hashtag got my hope. Somebody better post that on Facebook and put hashtag got my hope. Game on. You don't have to say anything else. Game on. Hashtag got my hope. You're watching my live stream. Post it right now. Hashtag got my hope. Game on. Game on. Game on. Hallelujah. And you know, cool. The reason you need to do that, because you notice how Facebook and some of these, a year from now, you'll get a, hey, here's a memory. And maybe a year from now, you might be needing it. And a year from now, you can be speaking into your own life. And you wake up and say, what am I going to do? And you go to Facebook just looking to be distracted by what other people are doing. All of a sudden, you see, oh, a memory. Game on. Hallelujah. I got to do it one more time. I'm still getting up. My third time around. We didn't do the first time. First two times. Come on, shout with me. One, two, three. Game on. Don't that make you just want to stand up and fight? You're not passive. You're not weak. You're not a victim. You don't have to be knocked around and knocked down and kicked and spit on and laughed and ripped. No! You're going to rise and shine. Game on. Ooh, if you get nothing else today, you walk out of this, game on. You look at your friend, game on, brother. I'm telling you, game on. We're going. Ooh, I want to high five somebody. They're too far away. Game on, game on. Come on, give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. You're not dead. It's not over. Game on. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Praise him. And if you're watching my live stream, praise him right where you're at. Driving down the road, begin to praise him. In your room, begin to praise him. In your house, raise your hand, do a dance. Game on. Let the devil know. He didn't silence you. He didn't shut you up or shut you down. Game on. Ooh. Hallelujah. I tell you, just tell the devil, just keep looking at the scoreboard. Just keep your eye on the scoreboard. It's about to change. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm having fun. It just feels good to say it. Some of you have been so afraid of the devil. You know, he's afraid of you when you wake up. Inside of you is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Proverbs 30:30 says that the lion turns away from no one. Say, devil, sorry, you done, should not have gotten on my radar. Game on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Game on. All right, let's get this game on. Let's next verse, verse 2. Notice this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That's the New Living Translation. King James says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Two things I want to draw from that real quick. We look to Jesus as our example. We'll get into that in a few seconds. And also our source. He's the author and the completer of your faith. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. James 1, verse 22, 3, and 24 verses talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty and seeing who you are, connection to who he is. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So he is the initiator. He is our motivation. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing the word. John 1 says that in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh. And so we utilize getting into the word, Joshua 1, verse 6 through 8, that gives you strength and motivation to say, game on, and to move forward. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so what we have to do is begin to make his word a priority. Because in life, when you've been knocked down, you'll get all of what they said. Well, they said, I can never do it again. What did God say? They said, I'll never feel better. What did God say? They said that I'll never get a loan for a business because I just failed in the last one. What did God say? They said that no one likes me and they're always against me. What did God say? You got to get to what he said, be greater than what they said. Because if you stay down, it's because we're focusing on what they said and not what he says. When you make what he says a priority, even all of them are against you. You got somebody who's greater than all of them combined for you, and when you get the what he says, it will override what they say. They can say what they want, but when you know what he says, you can stand and be strong, be confident, be calm, not be rattled. Oh, they're talking about you. That's okay. Because I know what he says. He's the author and finisher. Notice not only is he the source, he's the example. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and now is at the right hand, seated in authority, positioned right hand of God. What is it telling us? You begin to focus on the joy of victory and not the struggle of the battle. When you begin to only focus on not getting hit or just got hit or just been knocked down, and that becomes your primary focus, you will not be motivated to get back up. But anybody who gets back up is because they said, you might have knocked me down, but I see victory coming. I'm fighting for something greater. I'm fighting for the end zone. I'm fighting for a score. I am playing to win. And they get back up for the victory, not for the battle. They don't focus on being knocked down. They focus on winning. When you begin to see the victory that God has for you, Paul said it this way, at the last stage of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Because of that, now I am ready to receive the reward, the crowns of victory that belong to me when I get to heaven. See, your life just doesn't end on this side of eternity. There is a reward on that side of eternity. Paul told the church, I don't want you to lose your full reward. There'll be Christians that make it to heaven, barely on the skin of their teeth, missing hell, going to heaven, but not realizing there is a reward system from your heavenly Father in eternity. And if you think missing out on some stuff on this side of eternity is one thing, on that side, which lasts forever, is a whole different ballgame. You got to run as a race to win it, but just not win it on this side, because there's victory, there's rewards, there's benefits, Jesus said. Nobody gives up anything for me in the kingdom that doesn't receive a hundredfold on this side of eternity with persecution, because not everybody's gonna be happy that you're happy, but that's okay. But also, the same reward, there's a greater reward in heaven, and I'm telling you, when you get knocked down, get back up, game on, because there's something greater that you're playing for. It doesn't end with you. It doesn't end with you. There's people on this side of eternity that need to see you get back up. There's people that'll benefit from you getting back up. Jesus said, you're a light and don't hide it, shine it to benefit people around you. There's people that need to know and see what happens when someone's been knocked down, that you can still get back up. Game on, baby. So that it's bigger than just you. It lasts longer than just you. And it carries even into eternity. When you get knocked down and people say, you just stay down. Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, when you're knocked down, that's some stupid advice. But you know what? Stupid people will give stupid advice. We still love them. You still love them. But at the end of the day, you got to choose God's advice and not people's advice. Don't play for the moment. Play for the destination. When you get knocked down, get back up. Go time, right? It's game, baby. Why? Because you're going to keep playing for a win not just for a play. And you keep, Father, we're out of time, but when you keep running the plays that God gives you, because his perspective is better than your perspective. When you're on the field, those giant men who are angry and they are coming to kill you looks like one thing, but God sees it from the top. Those owners look down and those coaches look down from the top and they see the whole field. I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father sees the end from the beginning. He sees it clearly and he says, listen, let me give you a play that's a guaranteed game winner. And you get the plays from heaven and run that. The Bible tells us that you will be successful. You will end the game well. You will be the head and not the tail. People want it without running the play. They want the reward without obeying the instruction. Now run the plays of God. Run what he shows you. And when you do it, you will win. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.